Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app. Download it. You can listen to us anywhere all across the country. Mm-hmm. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, May 9th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Yep, hello.
And Jason Bishop.
Sup.
Bish Buck's wearing his Caps jersey.
Love it. Love your fit today,
nice
Jason.
Win for the Washington Capitals. They even up their second round series one game apiece.
JP came in the studio before the show giving crap to Bickle and I, saying, you had no faith. I never predicted they were going to lose game two. I just was down on the way they played in game one. And I said, they got to play a lot better.
I thought they were probably done.
EB told me during one of the commercial breaks the other day in the bathroom, he's like, Caps are cooked.
Oh, bathroom confessional? Is that what that was?
He said they're cooked.
I think it's a bad matchup. But listen, thank God for Tom Wilson.
I feel a lot better.
I don't know if I've ever seen.
What about Mikey?
I think everyone played better.
What about LT?
LT.
I mean, take the goalie for granted a little bit.
Willie He's been was playing awesome. Great.
But I've never seen, I'm not a huge hockey guy watching the playoffs. I've never seen a guy just dominate offensively, defensively, physical toughness. Like everything.
Yeah, throwing his body around, like blocking shots.
You know, the talk was before they had the better two-way players. There was no better two-way player than Tom Wilson last night.
He was the best. Close. He was the best on the ice.
It wasn't even close.
He was the man. He was the guy that put the Caps on his back last night.
He really did.
Carbs said after the game in the presser, he said, look, our leaders are Wilson,
right.
Carly, and O.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when they play bad, they get pissed off.
Sure.
Specifically those three guys.
And they responded and they responded had to last night.
Yeah, and they're leaders, so you kind of saw that last night, but especially with Willie.
Yeah, Willie was unbelievable. I've never seen it. A big guy like that just flying around, deflecting shots, blocking shots, using
his
body.
Gets the empty netter at the end.
And he had the assist earlier. I mean,
By the way, that game should have been 4-1 because Bovey just whiffed on an open net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
hit the pipe.
I would never hit it because I can barely skate, but yeah. Who am I to criticize?
Oh, no, that was unbelievable.
And I love that guy because he's got a similar last name to mine.
I thought you were committing to Beauvilliers.
Who knows? that bit's probably gone by the wayside, but really great effort by the Caps. I mean, they were physical. They put more shots on net.
I'll be honest, I thought they were mediocre in the first period.
It looked a little shaky the first period. Great response to even the series, and now it shifts to Carolina.
Yeah. That's a tough
place to get wins because they didn't give any wins to Jersey during the playoffs.
That's right.
And the Caps couldn't win there during the regular season. So.
Well, look, it was a must win, and they played very well, and the Carb said we can play even better, and then they're going to have to.
They definitely can.
When they go down there. So,
I thought they played good as a team, good, not great.
Yeah,
I thought Willie was great.
Willie was awesome.
Time to update the dubs tracker. Got to tick that number down.
All right, good. That feels better.
And Cakes, our boy Ryan Leonard was a healthy scratch.
You know what?
They took the 19-year-old and put Radish in.
Give him a break.
I'm fine with that.
I was fine with it,
totally
too.
Totally fine
give
with
him a
that.
Break. He hadn't done that much.
Carb's like, okay, you get to take a seat for a little bit.
Right.
We gave you a taste of it.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that.
Well, I just need more. It doesn't matter.
Had like 15 or 16 games since he's been called up from BC. Yeah.
I thought Radish was pretty good last night. I mean, he didn't score or anything, but I thought he was pretty active. He took a couple shots, so...
Is Mikey their leading scorer in the playoffs?
He might be tied
he's
with
got
Ovi.
It's either him or Ovi.
I think he and Ovi
he's
are
really,
tied.
I think he and really Ovi good. Both have four goals in the postseason.
But he's really good, too.
The over-aggressive style of Carolina, we've seen it in both of these first two games.
Mm-hmm.
it can lead to breakaways. We saw it with Protus in game one, and we saw it again with Mikey last night.
So well, that was just a bad turnover where you just, I mean, he hit his boy right in the throat.
Yeah. So Cats need to take advantage of those at every single turn.
I would agree. So you guys slept better after a win, right?
Not great.
I think I slept pretty well.
I didn't watch the entire game last night. I watched the first two periods. Got up this morning at 3:45 and watched the third. But I did sleep better because, they were winning when I went to sleep.
Now, I obviously didn't hear the ESPN broadcast firsthand because like a normal, intelligent person, I turn it down and I sync up the 106.7 The Fan call with John Walton.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of critique about how it was very one-sided towards Carolina, at least on Twitter. And then, I think it was in the third period.
Well, the first period it was, I thought.
I think in the third period, they just had a glitch where, during live action, went to a Geico commercial for about 10 to 12 seconds.
Yeah. I was fast-forwarding through that.
Again, we're biased. We're on Monumental. We're on the network.
Mm-hmm.
Their game coverage is so superior to ESPN's, both with the commentary and just the overall production. It's not even comparable, in my opinion.
I mean, I like McDonough as a play-by-play guy. Ferraro, it's just, he comes in and out, he only talks for like 10 seconds for the entire game.
I'm used to the gold standard.
Of course.
Joe B. and Craig
Lachlan.
That's the gold standard.
I would much rather watch them.
Everything else pales in comparison. Yeah. Well, I go with my man John Walton on the radio.
Yeah.
That's my next best role. They're not home announcers. They have to be neutral. The problem is, it doesn't seem like they're neutral. I mean, there were definitely times where they just and maybe deservedly so. I don't know. They were just outright insulting the Caps.
I mean, Grant Paulson was pointing it out during the broadcast, like on Twitter, like McDonough's just taking jabs at the Caps whenever he can, and that's not really his role. He's the play-by-play guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if somebody's going to take little shots and digs, that's Ferraro. That's, like, his role in the broadcast.
But Ferraro never talks.
I mean,
McDonough dominates that.
I don't know how much or how little he talks. Because I'm not listening to them.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to that inferior broadcast.
Right.
I'm out on that.
Either way, we're going to have to deal with it because they've got coverage for the entire thing. But big win. And now we go down to Raleigh.
I don't know. You want to play some of the calls? I know that Chris has some of the calls.
Yeah.
You want to play them?
Of course.
Chris, why don't you lead us through? Just tell us what you got, and then we'll just play them.
All right. First of all, we got that McMichael goal right here.
Yeah, that was the breakaway.
Coming back to Gostis Bear. And a loose puck down low here that McMichael will chip away. And backhand out towards center. Mangiapane turned around. And now it's McMichael breaking behind. Shooting. He scores! Connor McMichael breaks through the Carolina D in from the blue line, keeps it low. It's 1-0 Washington.
Well, it all starts in your own zone, Connor.
I know. I was grateful for that. Let me finish. I was grateful for that because there have been so many breakaways that we don't bury. And Cakes hears me complain about it all the time. I'm sure he gets annoyed by me. But I agree. Stromer can do it, I think. And I think McMichael can do it. Sure, all these guys can do it one-offs or at times. They're pros. But we don't have guys that are particularly good at it. I think McMichael is one of the guys that can be particularly good.
I think eventually Leonard will be good at it. Now, he didn't do it in game one, but he's a really skilled offensive player.
Yeah, I'm not putting anything on a rookie.
Yeah, it's too early to really expect that. But yeah, McMichael got an opportunity and buried it.
Buried it, like made it look easy.
Put it bar down ski.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
The atmosphere at Cap 1 last night was alive.
Yeah, the crowd.
It seemed like it was much more alive than game one.
Well, early on, I didn't think so. But then once they got going, maybe so. I paid less attention to it. In the beginning, it was pretty quiet, I thought.
You guys are giving Willie a lot of credit, and he deserves credit. But Logan Thompson, we haven't talked about.
I saw these numbers
last night. This is from Big Head Hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously saved 26 out of 27. 96.3% save
percentage.
Should have
been a shutout because the one goal he gave up was a weird bounce to Gostis Bear.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a weird bounce.
It was a power play goal. I mean, blasted it.
It was a little bit of a fluky goal. It should have been a shutout, but it's okay. Gave up one. We can live with that.
Well, he was 2.65 goals saved above expected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the game 3-1. So, difference in the game.
I mean, Thompson's been a monster throughout
the series.
Well,
I don't think they win it. I mean, obviously the goal is great. They don't win that game if Tom Wilson wasn't there yesterday. It was a 0.0, in my opinion.
No, he was great. He was awesome. He was outstanding.
Yeah. And I think I think we still need to get a little bit more from Ovi, to be honest with you.
Could use that.
Yeah,
he wasn't on the ice as much as usual.
Well, especially towards the end.
At the end, they didn't have him on the ice.
At one point, he was on a decent amount, and then towards the end, not as much.
I think he only finished with about 15 or 16 minutes.
If you're looking to protect a one-goal lead with the last 3 or 4 minutes,
he's not the greatest
defensive player on the planet. We all know this.
He was on for 14 and a half.
Carbs knows that. So, like, why would you put him out there if you have a better matchup?
Right. You put your best defensive player, of course.
So, I think he
had 3 shots.
I think he even took himself out halfway through one of the power plays, which, you know, a lot of times, well, certainly down the stretch when he was trying to break the record, he was staying in for the whole thing. But I thought they were pretty good, but they weren't as good, neutralizing our power play. And then
they each scored on the power play, right?
They each did score. I thought they were, you know, it's weird for a team that's known for getting, and they even mentioned it, because I think we were all thinking the same thing. For a team that's known for just firing, basically, they don't really do dump and chase. They just throw it at the net instead.
They want to put it at the net
corner. They're just going to throw it towards the net
because they feel like good things can happen.
But they do dump it in the corner a lot too.
Some when they have to change or whatever. But for a team that does that, and I don't know how many. Like I don't think they had like 90 shots like the day before. Did they?
No shot attempts. No. For a team that does throw so many in there.
They do hold the puck forever and wait for like the perfect shot on the power play. It's really weird.
Yeah, and late
from my perspective,
I think it was in the third period. They had one possession where they had the puck in the Caps zone for
3 minutes.
I think it was like 2+ minutes.
Two,
and you could just tell the Caps were just gassed. And I'm just screaming at the TV, "Clear the puck!"
Yeah.
Five times.
They had to get another line out there. Yeah.
Just clear the freaking puck.
Well, they outshot the Caps 17-7 in the third, so they were clearly more aggressive.
I know that the shot stats weird, but like, were they just chucking them at the, not shots on goal, just total shots? What was their
shot attempts?
I think it was somewhere in the 60s. I could be wrong.
The time before was 90.
I think it was in the 60s, and then the Caps were probably in the 30s.
Caps just played better defense. They had 33 block shots to Carolina's 10.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's because they shoot the puck so much more.
They shoot it so much, but then our guys were flying all around. I think we had 12 block shots in the first period.
Willie was salty. He only got credited for 2 block shots.
I saw
his quote. He's like, is the guy upstairs even paying attention to what's happening?
Yeah. He felt like he blocked about 10 of them.
I mean, it seemed like he blocked way more than that.
Oh, dude, he was flying around everywhere.
And then when Willie was on the ice and Aho, you know, took his stick and kind of jammed it back into the ice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Willie was so bitter. I'm telling you, he gets on my nerves. Don't like him.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
I don't like
anybody that's wearing that ugly Canes uniform.
I would only like him if he played for the Caps.
By the way, the Canes road uniform with Canes written in is gross. It's ugly.
I don't love it.
Their other sweater with their main logo looks good.
Mm-hmm.
That one, throw that one in the trash. And I like almost every uniform, so you know it's ugly if I hate it.
I'm a little bit salty, Mr. Bickle, because my wife and her and some friends, the Mooney family, made dinner plans on Saturday.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well,
now, look, I didn't know what time the game was going to be.
Yeah.
It's a 6 o'clock puck drop.
Yeah.
They made dinner reservations for 5:15.
That's all right. You can watch the first period on your phone.
I'm not watching it on my phone.
Where are you going?
Are you duffing?
I might duff.
Do they have a TV?
This restaurant does not have a TV.
Oh, soul crushing.
Nope. I'm a little bit salty.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, like, I went to dinner last night, too. But I went at 5:15.
So did I.
I went at 5:15.
I was at Open Road.
I was home in plenty of time for them to drop the puck.
So was I.
Okay? Yeah. Not being out for dinner during Caps playoff game.
Yeah, I mean.
That is heresy.
Now, I did tell them I don't care as much about game 3 if the Caps lost game 2 and they were down 2-0.
Okay. It was contingent upon
but
last
since
night's
they've
result.
Tied the series, it's a massive game.
Yeah.
So I need to watch it.
Don't bail on the boys, okay? It was one rough game.
I know.
They responded well in game 2.
Okay.
Don't give up the ship.
My bad.
If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up at 800-636-1067. We'll talk Caps throughout the show. John Walton, the voice of the Caps right here on 106.7 The Fan. He'll join us at 8:45. Our pal Mark Robert's lead singer from OAR. He's going to jump on at 9. And comedian Rich Voss in studio 9:20. We're packed here on a Friday. We're the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can always text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza's local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. I mentioned it earlier. Our pal Mark Roberge is going to jump on at 9 o'clock. OAR is performing at Nats Park tonight after the game. Mm. So we'll talk to Mark coming up at 9 o'clock. Rich Voss, comedian, in studio at 9:25, hanging out with us. And John Walton, voice of the Caps on 106.7 The Fan, will jump on at 8:45.
Rich Voss.
Plus, we've got Metallica tickets to give away. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up at 7:25. Right now, let's get into the Junkie Sports page.
Sports page, of course, sponsored by my good friends over at Molloy Chevrolet in Alexandria.
Very good.
So check them out. Ask for Josh Cochran. He's the general manager over there. I'm not sure when I'm going to be driving my new Tahoe. Hopefully it's soon.
What color again?
Deep blue.
Deep blue.
Black interior.
Deep blue, black interior. Okay, good.
Gonna be so.
I'm sure it's gonna be very nice.
All right, so obviously the Caps was the biggest story here locally. Big win over the Canes. 3-1.
I mean, a massive win. Just a massive
win.
I mean, it must win.
And
thank God.
It's a big deal because you don't want to go down 0-2 and have to travel down to a very tough environment down in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks loves the road arenas.
The Lenovo Center. I'm sure I'm going to hear a lot of hype about how it's the loudest building in the NHL.
I went there. That place sucked.
Ooh, the Caniacs. Ooh, I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
You're such a defensive Caps fan. It's hilarious.
Well, I'm just a loyal Caps fan.
I understand, but
look how bitter he gets. Look at his face.
I mean, it's my team.
That's upset that they hyped up the Montreal, the Bell Center.
Yeah, again, if we built an arena that held 30,000 people, we would have the loudest arena in the league.
Maybe. We'll see.
Duh.
All right, I mean, so
it's common sense.
After the game, we've been talking about Willie. Willie played great. LT played great. They were in the presser together last night. I think Chris has some clips from last night from Willie after the game.
He's looking. Hold on.
How do you feel about LT?
Yeah, he actually said thank you for one of the blocks. That was a first for like the entire season, I think. But yeah, he's our wall back there. He's calm. He just keeps us in every single game. So it's nice having a goalie that's going to give it his all. And you know, he's been our MVP all year, and you know, he's playing great. So I gotta stay on top of him and make sure that I keep him on his toes around the rink and make sure he doesn't get too comfy, but he's been awesome for us.
I mean, LT's been the proverbial brick wall throughout the playoffs, outside of that one weird game in Montreal where he allowed 5 goals.
Yep.
Here are his goals against per game. 2-1-5, 2-1-2-1.
He's the guy.
And that's why you go with him. You know, we discussed this beforehand, and there were some people that were advocating Lindgren because Logan Thompson hadn't played, but Logan Thompson was the better goalie all year. He is the better goalie. He's higher paid for a reason. That's who you start in goal.
I advocated for Chucky just because of the layoff. I was worried about the rust factor. I wasn't worried about the talent factor.
Right.
I know who the more talented goalie is. Mm-hmm. There's a reason you gave Logan Thompson the longer term deal for higher money.
Right. He's
you
the guy.
You just know he's better.
I mean,
I was just a little worried about how he was coming off the layoff.
I was with you, yeah.
And I shouldn't have been worried about it because he's been outstanding.
No, he's been great. You got to listen. I don't think you could go through this gauntlet. What do we have now? We still have 11 more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a hot goalie, well, we got a hot goalie.
Yep.
So that part, you could check that box. Mm-hmm. Knock on wood.
Yep.
Let me knock on wood. We've got the hot goalie. We just need the other guys to step up. And Willie did, and McMichael did, and a lot of guys did at moments. But I honestly still think we need more. Like, it was a great win, but we need more.
Yeah. Probably need some from Ovi.
Huh?
Ovi's been a little quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had stretches. He's had a few moments, but you need more from him. I know even my daughter pointed out, where's Lars Eller? He didn't even play that much. I know he's not a huge player on this team, but just need more from everyone. frankly.
They played Carly a lot. You know, the defensemen are obviously going to play a lot. Chich played 25 minutes. Matt Roy played like 23 minutes. Mm-hmm. The Canes outshot the Caps 17-7 in the third, so they were being overly aggressive there. And, of course, Willie got the empty netter to close it out. But when you just look at the team stats, I mean, game one, it was one-sided. Okay, the Canes are going to outshoot the Caps in pretty much every game.
Sure.
It's just the way they play.
It's fine.
But 28-21, you'll take that all day.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right? And the hits were much closer in this game, too. The Caps had 16 hits to Carolina's 17. Faceoffs were dead even at 28. So the Caps tidied up a lot of things that were kind of off kilter in game one.
Yeah.
By the way, all of our Caps content brought to you by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military, made in America. Check out acecomputers.com. Do that now.
You could tell, obviously, with all the block shots and the bodies flying around, that they went to that extra gear that we didn't see in game one. That's got to continue. Mm-hmm. They cannot let up. Because in game one, they look, honestly, in my opinion, I know nothing. But in my opinion, they look old and slow.
Yeah,
they didn't look old and slow last night. So whatever they dug into, that can't just be a one-off. They can't relax now. That's got to be. They need that. I'm sorry. They need that kind of effort to beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can play less than that.
By the way, here's Willie scoring the empty netter with John Walton on the call.
He does not, but the Caps end up with it anyway. Roy, far wing. Wilson can't clear. Shot attempt coming in from Burns. A save made by Thompson and a rebound that Protas will get out to center, but can't catch up to in a neutral zone. Now Protas gets it back, and a shot that breaks the stick of Burns. Lining up is Wilson. He scores! Wilson into the empty nets! 59.2 to go! 3-1 Washington!
Sean McDonough must have been in shambles when that empty netter went in. He must have just been...
He's a huge Canes fan, apparently.
He must have just been beside himself.
I think he was fawning over Tom Wilson, like we are.
Whatever.
I don't know. Caps fans get upset at anything he says. Like, they had a whole piece set up when Carly scored about where he ranked all-time amongst American defensemen. I thought they were fair to the Washington Capitals.
You keep thinking it's right down the middle. You would be the only person on the planet.
I didn't think at the beginning. At the beginning, I thought McDonough was taking shots, and maybe deservedly so. He was flat out just ridiculing their effort.
From game one.
Well, I think, and also leading in the first period, it was not a great first period.
Okay.
It started to pick up towards the end of it.
He was just calling what he was watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know that he hates him.
I think he'll be much more positive about the Caps in game three because of how they played.
I thought he was complimentary of the guys that deserved compliments. He was complimentary of McMichael, of Willie, of Logan Thompson.
How could you not be, Carly? How could you not be after? But I'm telling you, in the first period, he was taking shots. After that, when you start playing better, then maybe.
We were taking shots.
We're allowed to.
I'm going to listen to the better broadcast going forward. I'm going to stick with my man John Walton on the Odyssey app. That's going to be my move.
I think it's a great move.
Keep listening to the ESPN broadcast.
I'm too lazy.
An inferior broadcast.
Yeah, I'm too lazy.
I'm too lazy. God bless you, Cakes, for your big heart. I'm too lazy. I'm just going to turn it on, and I'll listen to whatever dumbasses are calling it. You know.
But look, better effort. You could see that just from the way that they were skating. It wasn't total domination. There was, you know, the last couple of minutes, there were some hairy moments there because Carolina was desperate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were desperate.
The stat I don't love for the Caps is that they had 21 giveaways to just 11 for Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just because
they just have a hard time getting it out
of their defensive zone. Despite all the positives that happened last night, it's once Carolina gets that forecheck going and they're putting bodies on the Caps back by their goal, it's tough to shake those guys.
They're relentless.
So hopefully they keep improving on that number going forward.
Imagine what the bars were like after that game last night.
Oh, it just had to be
on a Thursday night after a win.
Crushing.
I mean, it probably would have been like that after a loss too,
right.
Certainly after a win. All right, the Oilers came back. I believe this is their sixth consecutive come from behind win.
Oof.
In the playoffs. They beat the Golden Knights in Vegas to take a 2-0 lead. They beat them in overtime 5-4.
Yeah, that's not great for Vegas to drop both games on home ice.
Yep. That's right. So they'll be heading to Edmonton for games 3 and 4. Tonight, you got a desperate Florida Panthers team. They're down 2-0, lost both in Toronto, but they're back home. At the Merritt Bank Arena. Is that what it is? Is that where they play?
Not sure the name of their arena. I'd have to look it up.
And then the Dallas Stars already took one in Winnipeg at the Canada Life Center in Winnipeg. They beat the Pets in game one, so they'll play again tonight for game two. So playoff hockey is off and running. All right, NBA last night, just one game, and that was Minnesota pounding the Steph Curry-less Golden State Warriors, 117-93. I didn't watch any of this game. I don't know if JP did. He can kind of break it down. But I did see that Draymond was assessed another technical. I believe he's two technicals shy of serving a one-game suspension. So if he gets two more, he's going to serve a one-game suspension.
Yeah, Naz Reid reached in and fouled Draymond Green. And Draymond, he just walks the line between hard play and dirty play all too often. And as Naz Reid reached in and fouled him,
mm-hmm.
Draymond waved his arms and basically smacked Naz Reid in the ear.
Right. So Reid fouled
him. And then they went
him.
To the replay and they gave the foul to Naz Reid and then gave the technical foul to Draymond Green. But look, Golden State's going to have a very tough time winning games without Steph Curry.
Where'd the hamstring strain come from? Like from the previous game?
Yeah. He only played 13 minutes in game one, which they won. There was a scary moment for the Timberwolves because, I mean, Anthony Edwards was carried off the floor.
I heard that. Yeah, I
and
saw
it,
that.
It looked bad, but I guess he just hurt his ankle and he was back. He finished with 20.
Remember what he did in the Lakers series?
Yeah.
Remember?
Same thing kind of happened.
Yeah. And he was fine. I mean, it looked like he was going to have to be carried off after he hurt his knee in the Lakers series after LeBron pounded him.
Did he pull a Logan Thompson?
Kind of.
Was that his move?
We came back on the court and played well. Didn't even look like he had an injury.
A couple local guys got minutes on both sides. Luca Garza got a couple of minutes for the T-Wolves. And Pat Spencer, you know,
got
14 minutes. Didn't really do anything statistically, but it's pretty incredible.
He's still in the league.
Yeah. I saw a two-minute clip of Draymond Green just talking about how important Pat Spencer was and how good of a player he was and how great an athlete he was and high IQ and he was jocking him.
Yeah.
I've
seen Kerr jock him too.
Yeah.
So after the game in the locker room, Draymond Green was talking to the media and he says there's an agenda against him. They're trying to portray him as an angry black man. He says, quote, look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family, and I'm a great basketball player and great at what I do. The agenda to try and keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
Well, I can tell you this. When that foul occurred and the technical foul was given to him, he started barking at the referees, and Steph Curry, who's just in street clothes, walked onto the court, pulled him out. Steve Kerr took him out of the game because they were afraid he was going to get another tech.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's
own team and own teammates trying to protect him from going bonkers.
I think he's a guy that gets very emotional and has outbursts. I don't think there's an agenda by the sports media, by any media really in particular, to make him look like an angry black guy. I mean,
I think he's kind of psychotic.
Yeah. But I think I agree with him. I think he's a smart guy with, you know, a great family and all that. I'm sure that's all true.
Yeah.
But you're a little out of control sometimes on the court, and so people are gonna call it out.
Hey, props to Denny McCarthy, who balled out yesterday at the Truist. Now the Truist is a signature event, meaning
he shoots 62 or something.
He shot 62. He bogeyed 18, he would have shot 61.
Yeah.
But, yes, he shot a 62. He had 9 birdies. He trails Keith Mitchell by 1. Speaking of ballers, Keith Mitchell also balled out yesterday. But this is a signature event, meaning it's a huge purse. It's a $20 million purse. There's no cut.
I believe Fowler was like 63, too.
Fowler shot 63. Sepp Straka shot 63. Yeah. Ashke Bhatia shot 63. Colin Morikawa shot 63. So a lot of guys went low at the Philly Cricket Club up there in Philadelphia. But the PGA Championship's next week, which is a major.
Wow.
But this is a big deal because it's a huge event. And Denny McCarthy played very well yesterday, and he tees off at 9:17 this morning. So keep an eye out for him in round two.
Coming up next, there's an edge rusher who's now available. Should the Commanders take a look-see.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. A little bit later in the show, John Walton, voice of the Caps on 106.7 The Fan. He'll join us coming up at 8:45. Then we got our pal Mark Roberts from OAR. They're performing tonight at Nats Park. He'll jump on at 9. And Rich Voss in studio, one of our favorites. He'll be in studio coming up at 9:20. And we've got Metallica tickets to give away. Stay tuned for your chance to win Metallica tickets coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, right around 7:25. We'll give you a chance to win those Metallica tickets. So I mentioned an edge rusher who's available. Of course, the Commanders have a problem rushing the passer, and they lost their best pass rusher last season, Dante Fowler Jr. He's with the Cowboys now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Carolina Panthers have released Jadeveon Clowney. He was due around $8.53 million in salary this upcoming season and $2 million, which is reportedly guaranteed. The move frees up almost $8 million in cap space for the Panthers, but Jadeveon Clowney is available.
He's played with a million teams.
He's been on a lot of teams since he was drafted by Houston originally.
Yeah.
But he's played a lot, and there's a reason why teams want him.
Yeah. In 14 starts last season, he had 46 combined tackles, 5.5 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, 4 passes defended.
He's got 58 sacks in his career. I mean, not worthy of the number one overall pick.
No.
I mean, those numbers fall way short. Like, if you'd put a gun to my head before yesterday and I pulled up the stats and said, has Jadeveon Clowney ever had a double-digit sack season?
I would have said,
yes, yeah. Of course he's had one. Hasn't.
No. He's had 2 9.5-ers.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, he's never...
A couple nines.
But I mean, like, that sort of production, we would mock that all the time when Brian Arakpo would put up 9, 10, mm-hmm. or 11 sacks.
He did mm-hmm. earn 3 Pro Bowl nods.
He's 32.
He was an all-pro selection in 2016.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
put it this way.
That's a long time ago.
They've found ways to get guys like this on one-year prove-it deals who've paid off.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a one-year deal, a veteran deal.
You give them 1 year, $5 million, like they gave at Ertz or somebody like that?
Sure.
Low risk, low exposure.
Risk, not spend a lot of money.
If he stays healthy, maybe he gives you
six or eight
sacks.
Yeah.
I trust him.
I think he's worth a shot.
He's like an arbitrage.
I'm not sure if they're interested.
Like replacement for Fowler. That you sign on the cheap and hope you get 7 or 8 sacks if he stays healthy.
Yeah. I think I would be totally fine with it. But again, I said this when I did Grant and Danny yesterday. I think it was Toby and Danny. I just trust them so much. It's almost boring. It's like bad radio. I just trust them. Whatever they do, I trust. So if they don't sign them, they must have a reason why they're not. If they do, I support them. Until proven otherwise.
Did you see the post-draft QB rankings from Cody Benjamin on CBSSports.com?
I did not.
It's kind of crazy. All right, number 5 is Josh Allen.
Right. Seems very low for the guy that won MVP last year.
Hold on, I'm not sure I'm understanding what this list is.
It's just a power ranking of quarterbacks post-draft.
Oh, the best quarterbacks.
Okay, quarterbacks. Yeah. Okay.
Josh Allen. Number 4, Lamar Jackson.
That also seems low for a guy that won 3 straight MVPs.
Top 4. They got Joe Burrow 3.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Hurts, of course, won the MVP and won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Number 2. Jaden Daniels.
Ooh!
Number 1 post-draft quarterback.
Look at that.
In Cody Benjamin's list.
What does he mean by post-draft? So does he have some rookies in there or something? I don't quite understand the post-draft.
I mean, I think based on what they've done to, they go out and get Tunsil and Debo, and they drafted Connerly.
Post-draft. Bullish on Jaden Daniels.
What's the rationale? Can you read the...
He says, recency bias, ? Sure. But you'd be hard-pressed to find an NFL team that wouldn't hurry to claim him as their quarterback of the present and future, contenders included. He was simply unflappable for much of the dynamic debut, which ended on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. A second-year dip is possible, but who says Daniels won't keep climbing with some added veteran help in D.C.?
Kind of funny how he's ranked above Patrick Mahomes. That's kind of weird.
Oh, Mahomes
at least on his list.
Mahomes is, I think
he's 11.
6.
I find that peculiar.
I saw some list where they had Mahomes down at 11.
He might have been on the right side of that one, Cakes.
Maybe I was. Maybe I was on to something.
So
he did lead the Chiefs to the Super Bowl last year.
Remember,
okay, that's fine.
That is the one question. There is the cliche sophomore slump that you worry about with guys that have big first years. But Warren Sharp came on, and this guy knows the numbers as well as anybody. And he said, really, that's not something that quarterbacks typically endure. Which was enlightening to me.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his rationale for it was, but he was basically saying it's not really something that quarterbacks do.
And he was spotlighting his clutchness, his clutch gene.
Yeah.
That we know that he has.
He's got a little of James Wood in him. You know, just like,
yeah,
chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, all that craziness is going on, and he's just sitting there on the bench absorbing it.
Yeah.
And then when it's his turn, he goes out there, straps it up, and gets it done.
It's almost like nothing affects him.
You did see a few moments where, you know, he wanted urgency when the play was getting in slow. Yeah. You saw a few of those moments. But by and large, yeah, pretty unflappable.
Cool customer, both of those guys.
Pretty unflappable.
So, thought that was interesting.
Well, I think
he had him above, you know, MVP, Super Bowl winners.
I have him eventually going to the Hall of Fame. He's not worthy today
Mike
yet.
Mike Moore. All right, put him in there.
Eventually going to the Hall of Fame. I just see the talent.
Make
he's
that
going
headline,
there.
Mike Moore. Okay.
He's not Hall of Fame worthy yet.
Nobody is after
but
one year.
He's going now to the Hall of Fame because he's going to keep doing this, barring injury. But I wouldn't have him one in the NFL at this point. I mean, I think that's crazy. No one's higher on him than me, and I wouldn't put him one in the NFL. Like, that list to me is bizarre.
Well, it's just his opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that crazy considering what he did as a rookie and the fact that he can keep adding to his arsenal and his repertoire going forward.
It'll be interesting to see what he does.
Well, his skill set is as sexy as anyone's in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So, let's see. You saw the picture of him and Debo, and was it Ertz?
Ertz, yeah.
When they had their little mini camp or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Barstool Nate. He pointed out he thought he looked swole. Did you think he looked a little thicker?
I saw somebody else like post a picture of him within the last week that said he's been adding some muscle in the offseason.
Yeah, does he look?
He's a wiry, athletic guy.
Does he look a little more jacked?
I guess you'd be able to see it might pop in a picture or a video.
Somebody send it to me, EB Junkies on Twitter.
I saw one person on Twitter say it looked like Debo's been eating a lot of tacos.
Oh, they're joking.
So I don't know.
That's just
I think
Debo
that Debo's
looks.
Just going to have that
Debo just looks
reputation.
He's looked like that from his rookie year. That's just right. The way
he's
he looks.
He's just a tank. I don't really care what he looks like.
He's strong as an ox. His lower half stronger than, you know, some defensive tackles. I mean, he's just strong. He's a strong dude.
You know, back to Clowney. And whether the Commanders should add him, here's where they finished amongst the top teams in the league. All right. Denver led the league in sacks with 63. The Commanders are 20 back with 43, but that put them right in the middle. There are a bunch of teams around them, including the Eagles, who had less.
The
Eagles only had 40 sacks. So they found a way to get to the pass rusher. Now they lost Dante Fowler. So, yeah, I might take a flyer on Clowney.
It wouldn't hurt at all. It wouldn't hurt at all.
And most of the experts, you know, they're speculating, have the Commanders as one of the top destinations for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, they should be interested. When you lose your top pass rusher and Clowney becomes available, even though he's not going to get you 10 or 12 sacks, can he get you 6 or 7 and put pressure on the quarterback? That's valuable.
Does his odyssey, and I'm not expecting you guys to like look it up, but just by look, does his odyssey throughout the league coincide at any point with Norton, Quinn, Peters, any of those guys?
He did do 1 year in Seattle, but I don't think it intersected with
when
Quinn
DQ was there.
I don't think it intersected like Quinn was in Seattle years ago.
Right, because you know this is a relationships deal.
Yeah, Quinn
and
was...
if these guys have worked with him. You know, they're a little bit more likely to pull the trigger on something like that.
But, you know, you would have thought.
It's a good question.
I think if you didn't look up the numbers, you'd have thought that the Commanders finished near the bottom of the league in sacks. They finished 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Without having a stud who's giving you, you know, 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just spread them around. And maybe.
But it was still clearly a weak point of the team.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I just felt like you didn't have a superstar. And there were certain times. I mean, the defense was so bad at times that. Yeah, everything just seemed terrible.
But look, Peters and Quinn obviously felt that they had other needs. You know, they felt like they needed to go out and get a future left tackle, mm-hmm. possibly, in the draft, and not an edge rusher. And there were some good edge rushers on the board.
Mm-hmm.
They felt like they needed another DB. a corner. They got him, and there were still good rushers on the board.
Yeah, I think they're getting close to the DBs going from being a weakness to they're getting close to potentially a strength.
I think their bigger problem and the thing which they addressed probably with Kinlaw and in the draft was stopping the run. I think their whole focus is on stopping Saquon Barkley. It's like, that's the team that's ahead of us. How did they beat us?
Mm-hmm.
We got to figure out a way to stop Barkley. And they knew that going into the NFC Championship game, and still Barkley ripped off a touchdown on the first time he touched the ball.
Well, he's just great.
So they finished 30th in the league stopping the run last year. So I get why you want to rush the passer. Obviously, you want a guy. You want
bigger need.
You want a game
bigger
wrecker who's going
to
be in the quarterback's face. It's going to create turnovers and all that. But overall, you got to figure out a way to stop the run. They were giving up almost 140 yards per game on the ground. So that's the bigger need in my mind. So if you bring in a guy like Clowney, is Clowney good at stopping the run too? I don't know. Because I think that that's their number one mission.
I am drinking the Kool-Aid on everything that these guys are doing, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on Kinlaw. Everyone's bashing him, but I believe they're going to find a way to utilize him, and he's going to pop.
Well, they gave him a big deal.
Yeah, hopefully he's a game wrecker on the interior.
I think Kinlaw's going to pop.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been in the same room with him, obviously, but all they talk about is what a massive human being he was.
Yeah.
In fact, in one of these pods I listened to with Jay Gruden said, you see the guy, and you're like, oh, my God, like, how do you not have, like, 15 sacks and, you know, 200 tackles?
Yeah,
like, that's how physically imposing this dude is.
And remember, we heard they might use him in what they call the elephant end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he might not be a traditional defensive end that you think of like a TJ Watt mm-hmm. or a Myles Garrett that's going to go after him, but maybe putting him on the end is going to help you stop the run. And look, the staff, you look at Dante Fowler Jr., who they lost. The years before last season where he had 10.5 sacks, he finished in 2022 with 6 sacks. In 2023 with 4 sacks, they got him to 10.5 last season, and he's getting paid because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what they're looking at. You know, I would say it doesn't hurt to bring in Clowney. Maybe I would bring him in, but maybe
any
they don't think
guys,
they need him.
Any vet that, you know, that you could get on the cheap and in the same sort of idea of the Ecklers, the Ertz's, the guys that have done it before but are on the back end of it, and you think that they're character guys and they fit in the locker room, I'm all about it. No problems.
All right, got to take a break. Remember, coming up at 7:25, your chance to win tickets to go see Metallica in concert here on The Junkies.